Revelation 6 and 1. Well, this takes place after the rapture, as we know. This is the beginning of hard times. If you look at your chart that I just gave you tonight, it's a tribulation map. All of the saved and the Lord's church are going to be caught up. Right here, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. When the rapture takes place, first of all, there's a trumpet from heaven. Now, there's a lot of trumpets. The last trumpet in the church age is what we're talking about, the last trumpet. When a ram's horn is blown from heaven, and then the Lord speaks from heaven. It's a very beautiful, picturesque figure of speech that we're talking about. What was one of the last things that the Lord did with His church while He was with us on this earth before the crucifixion? What was one of the last things He did? He instituted the Lord's Supper, didn't He? All right? And He poured several cups of wine in that during that supper. It was a Passover, is what it was. And He poured that and He shared it. Now, in the Old Testament times, and even in the early New Testament times, when a Jewish boy would ask for the hand of his future wife, he would pour her a cup of wine. And if she agreed, if her family agreed, she was to have all of her stuff ready. And many times he would call on her at midnight. All right? Is this getting familiar now? And there would be someone to go out and announce his coming. Like a trumpet or whatever. Here he comes. And when she heard his voice, she was supposed to go to him. All right? And that's the rapture that we're talking about in the Bible. When we began the book of Revelation, I talked about the four different theories of Revelation. All right, the four different ideas of the interpretation of Revelation. And I said that I'm going to teach in the futurist point of view. All right, which I've been doing that. We studied church history as it related to the seven churches of Asia, and now we go to the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation. In the fifth chapter, we went up into heaven. We looked in heaven what was going on up there. Now we look back down on the earth. Now the Lord said Himself, He said, the coming of the Son of Man will be like what? As in the days of what? Noah. What happened in the days of Noah? They were just going on. You know, there's nothing wrong with eating. There's nothing wrong with drinking. There's nothing wrong with getting married. None of those things were super evil, were they? They were eating, drinking, and giving in marriage. They were just going on just like everything, just saying, well, so what? The background of that story is for 300 years before Noah started building that ark, somebody was preaching that there was going to be a judgment come on this earth. Who was he? We have him quoted in the book of Jude. Enoch, for 300 years he preached about the coming judgment from God upon this earth. And then Noah came up, you know, a sibling of one of his children. And Noah preached for how long that the Lord's judgment was going to come on the earth? How long did he preach? 120 years he preached. So we have 300 years. We have another 120 years. How many years altogether is that? That's 420 years that they had been talking about judgment coming. How long did the Lord? How long has it been since the Lord left His church on this earth? Huh? Nearly 2,000 years. Nearly 2,000 years people have been talking about the return of Christ.
All right. What happened after God called the animals into that ark and shut the door? What happened on the outside of the ark? There was three sources of water, wasn't there? The springs of the deep opened up. It started flowing like they'd never flown before. And let's look at it. The earth was different then than it is now. All around the earth was an ocean in the sky. Total ocean in the sky. Okay? What? Yes. The whole earth was like in a bubble. Okay? There was oceans in the sky. It was called Hashemayim. Alright? Hashemayim. And that's heavens. Okay? But what does Hashemayim mean? I didn't Hebrew. See if I can do it in English. Something like that. Hashemayim. Let's look at it. What's the definite article in Hebrew? Ha. The. Im. Plural. Alright, plural. What is Mayim here? Mayim. What is that? Or Maya? Water. We have up. What it really meant was uplifted waters. The whole heavens, the heaven above the earth was a bubble. It was an ocean in the sky. How long did these people live before the flood? Nine hundred years. A lot of them. There was one lived 969 years. His name was, when he's dead, it shall come to pass. That was his name. Kind of unusual name, Methuselah. All right, Methuselah. When he's dead, it shall come to pass. The year that he died, the flood came about. Judgment came. All right? We have the springs of the deep flowing, three sources of water. We have rain that probably never happened before, storms, clouds, and now we have the oceans of the sky opened up, and the rivers in rivers was running down to this earth. That's quite a frightening situation, isn't it? If you were living around here. How about if you never heard thunder before or saw lightning in the sky and all this started to happen? Might make a believer out of you. Huh? Yeah? Well, you couldn't get in the ark. The door was shut. You're not going to go there. It says in the New Testament that Jesus went to preach unto those that were disobedient in the days of Noah. They were disobedient. But possibly on the outside of that ark was the biggest revival that took place in a long, long time. How many people got on the ark? Only 9 people went through the flood, including Enoch, because he was taken. All right? How many people got on the ark? How many converts did Noah have? 8. But I think there was a whole lot of them on the outside of that ark. Now, during the tribulation period, there's going to be a lot of people saved. I've talked to people before. One guy said, well, I don't think anybody's going to be saved after the rapture. Well, the book of Revelation said there's going to be a number saved that you can't do with arithmetic. That's what it says. You can't even do it with arithmetic. A lot of people are going to be saved. Huh? It's going to be a lot of people. That's what it says. Can't number. It says that means a whole lot. That's a figure that speaks for a whole lot. A large number. Okay? This is going to happen. Yeah, let's take a look at it. Tonight, we open the book. Tonight, we begin to open this. This is what we begin to open. This is what we begin to look at right here. Now, we heard trumpets. The trumpet, the last trumpet in the church age sounds, but there's going to be at least 7 more trumpets yet to come. All right? But the last trumpet in the church age is sounded. Now we're going to have seals. We've got trumpets, and we've got bowls of wrath that are going to be poured out on the earth. All right? Now let's let's go in here in 6 and verse 1. Now, last week I began reading to you from the Greek translation. And you said you liked that really well, so I'm going to go on and do this. All right? Now, follow along in your translations. If you've got your interlinear Greek there, you can do that. Write down notes. Here we have the rise of the Antichrist, and the first seal is open. All right? And I saw with the mind's eye when he opened up the lamb. Look at that word, to arneon, not there. That word, that's a sacrificial lamb. That's the one set aside for the sacrifice. Those shepherds in Bethlehem that were watching the sheep were watching the flock of the sacrificial lambs, those that had been marked for sacrifice. That's what this term is, arneon. And it says, one out of seven seals, the first out of seven seals, and I heard. That word comes from acoustics. The word acoustic in English comes from the Greek word akouo. One out of the four living beings, all right, the four living beings, saying, as with a sound of a brontosaurus. The word brontosaurus came from that word right there. It's brontes, all right, brontes. Thunder, deep bass tones. Remember there when Israel is at the foot of Mount Sinai, what scared them when they were shaking and trembling? The voice of God, like many thunders, spoke. And it says, come. All right? Come. Verse number two. Verse number two. And I saw. He looked into the future and he saw this. You know, John was a time traveler. This is really God is allowing him into the future to see this. He's a time traveler now. All right? And I saw, and he said, you behold a hippos. That's the word for horse in Greek, hippos. You ever hear of the word hippos before? How about hippopotamus? All right, hippopotamus. What is a hippopotamus? When the Greeks first saw a hippopotamus, they said, there's a water horse. Hippopotamus. Potamine, that's the word for river. All right, a river horse, a water horse. And a horse, leukos. Leukemia comes from this word. It's white. Leukos. Leukos. And the one sitting upon him having a toxon, a bow. All right, a bow, an archer's bow. All right, what is a bow symbolic in scriptures? What do you think that might stand for? It's gashet in Hebrew. What do you think that might stand for? War. The ability to bring destruction. And it was given, all right, to him a stephanos, a crown. Now this word stephanos here is not a diadem. You know, when Alexander the Great went into and he conquered all those different areas, he had a crown on his head, but he had diadems on that crown. Diadems are streamers. A diadem is won by power and force. A stephanos is something you get by right. All right? This is a very important term here, this stephanos here. This is a crown by right of birth. The right lineage. All right. Now, this is going to be an Antichrist. Antichrist. Antichristos is the word. Okay? And Antichrist means what? Instead of or against. Now, this one is going to stand against Christ. Genesis 3:15. He will be warring with Christ down through the ages now. And here we have the Antichrist coming forth. The Antichrist, the son of the devil, so to speak. This Rosemary's Baby deal. Something like that. The son of the devil in the flesh. In the flesh. And he's of the right lineage because he has a stephanos, a crown that's given him, Brother John. Well, now, if you were a Jew, would you accept anybody to be Messiah but a Jew? All right. He had the right lineage now. That's the word stephanos there. Many people might look over that, but when you look at it from the original language, it kind of straightens out our theology just a little bit. And he went out. XL thing. And he went out conquering. Nikon. Have you ever heard of Nike shoes? Nike means to conquer. All right. Buy some Nike shoes and conquer some ground. All right. Conquering, in order that he might conquer. Nikase. All right, that he might conquer. Now, Ezekiel 38:11. I'm going to give you a lot of cross-reference. We could go to all of these. Zechariah 1 and 8. Zechariah 6 and 3. And 6 and 11. Revelation 19, 11, 12, and 9 and 7, and 14 and 14, and 3, 21, Matthew 24, 6 and 7, Daniel 11 and 21, Ezekiel 38 and verse 11, Daniel 7, 1 through 8, and 8, 25 through 9, 26, and 11 and 21, and Matthew 24, 4 and 5, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 3, Zechariah 13, 8 and 9, and Revelation 4 and 7. That's a lot of the Bible tied together with this one verse. Okay? Let's go back to Daniel just a minute. Let's go back to the book of Daniel. Brother, or anyone have the book of Daniel here? All right. Daniel, the 11th chapter and verse 21, Daniel 11. Daniel 11 and 21. Okay, go ahead, Brother Dan.
In his place shall arise a vile person, whom they will not give the honor of royalty, but he shall come invisibly and seize the kingdom by intrigue.
Mm-hmm. All right, he's going to seize the kingdom by intrigue. Going to do Daniel 7, 1 through 8, Daniel 7th chapter. Young lady, Claudia, are you back there someplace? Daniel 7, 1 through 8. Here we have, historically, these things happened also back in Daniel's day. We saw the kingdoms come and rise and fall. But this is a type of something coming also. We see this coming upon us. Daniel, or Ezekiel 38 and verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 3. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 3. Anyone over there? You over there, Terry? Anyone? John? Shelby? Marilyn? Do you have your Bible open tonight? 1 Thessalonians 5 and 3 and Zechariah 13, 8 and 9. Okay, are you there, John?
For they were saying, peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like birth pains on an unwanted child, and they shall not exist.
All right. This is some rough stuff now. Anyone else over in the other ones now? Okay, which one did I tell you to go to before?
Zechariah 5 and 3.
Yeah, Zechariah. Zechariah 13, 8 and 9. And 1, 8 and 6, 3 and 6, 11. Zechariah 13, 8 and 9, if you got that one. Okay. Okay.
And it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that two thirds in it shall be cut off and die, and one third shall be left in. I will bring the one third to the fire, and will refine them as silver as refined, and test them as gold as tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people. And each one will say, the Lord is.
All right, that's talking about Israel. God has not finished with Israel yet. God set Israel aside, but the promises that He made to Abraham for Israel are steadfast, they're indelible, they're marked down forever. By the name of God, or for His name's sake, He will bring Israel back into the land, and He will protect them at this end time. But two-thirds of them are going to be destroyed. It's not talking about the Gentiles here. It's talking about two-thirds of the Jews. Ezekiel 38 and verse 11. Anyone have that one? Then we'll go on here. Ezekiel 38 and verse 11. Right before Daniel. Marilyn, are you there anywhere yet? Oh. Ezekiel 38 and verse 11. Are you there, John?
And you will say, I will go up against the land of unmarked elephants. I will go against those.
All right, when Israel makes this covenant with this Antichrist, they think they're going to be in safety. All right? The Antichrist shall take his throne on the political platform of peace, and he will begin to be given the ability to put down all civil war among the nations which have joined his confederation. All right? We're going to look at this. That's Revelation 6, 1 and 2. All right? And then it says, when he opened up the seal, the second, I heard the second, in verse 3, living being saying, you come. Come here. All right? Now, number 2, the second seal, if you want to write these down, I don't know whether they're in your... Are they written down in that already? Because I don't know whether you've got... Maybe I think they are down at the bottom. If you look at them, someplace on 6 and 3, yeah, there they are. There's the seals. Let's look at these now. Peace shall be taken from the earth, and much blood will be shed as nations rebel against the Antichrist, and civil war continues within the confederation of the Antichrist. These are the Western nations in which the United States will probably be part of it. All right? We find out in the end times that the world is going to be crippled economically. Sound familiar? All right. The only way to get out of this terrible thing is to put everything in the hands of the Antichrist. Now, there aren't going to be... How many of you run into panhandlers and bums and things like that all the time? All the time. There won't be any of those there during this period of time. There won't be any. The economic system, the Antichrist in the Western nations now, the Antichrist is going to be over all the economic system. I believe, and most people believe, that the Catholic Church will be part of the commerce of this, of all of her influence in the world. There will be a one world religion. There will be a state church again. Now, this takes place after the rapture. There will be a church state. All right? The world's going to be religious. Now, the Antichrist is going to come up and they're just going to follow this man. They're going to follow this Antichrist. And he said he's going to tell them that I'm going to set the standards of what money is worth. All right? In the world, throughout all history, there has really been a problem. There have been the princes and the paupers. And much of Europe at one time was mostly paupers and a few princes. And the princes lived happily. How did Louis XIV live? Lavishly. They took his clothes off. They put his clothes on him. They washed his face. They washed him. They fed him. Everything was done. And what was the rest of France doing? Scratching for bread. Marie Antoinette said, "We don't have any bread." She said, "Why don't they eat cake? They don't have any bread. Let them eat cake." She was really serious. She didn't understand what it was to be hungry. They had all their fancy chefs and everything else. Why, our president, Thomas Jefferson, was over there for quite a while, and he trained one of his people to be a French chef. All the fancy foods. Well, I'm going to tell you what, the common people didn't get any of that. It's just the princes. In the whole Western world, during this period of time, we're going to have great, big, powerful monopolies. Sound familiar? Great, powerful monopolies that are going to literally rob the people. They're going to bring them into financial devastation to where they're nothing but slaves. We'll have a slave society again. Okay? And he'll have the power to bring the civil war. There's going to be some civil war. There's going to be a lot of people killed. And during all this time, guess what's going to happen? A lot of people are going to be saved. They're going to say, you know what? Valley Baptist Church was really telling the truth. Now, there'll probably be people meeting here after we're gone. All right? Those guys were telling the truth. They're all gone. And if they get saved, what's going to happen to them? They're going to be like they were on the outside of the ark. We're going to see them. We're going to hear from them in a little while. Number three, we're going to get there. We're just going to look at it ahead of time. Great famine will take place, and a day's food will be sold for a day's wages. And what is that called? Slave labor. The whole world will be enslaved just for enough food to feed them. All right? Now, we're going to see these as we go on. That's Revelation 6, 5, and 6. Number four, the fourth seal that we're going to look at. One quarter, 25% of the population of the earth shall be killed. 25% of the people in the world will die. By war, famine, pestilence, and disease, which always follows every war. Revelation 6, 7, and 8. Number five. Many who were saved after the rapture shall now be martyred for their faith, but even many more shall die. Revelation 6, 9 through 11. Number six seal. Many earthquakes shall take place. The sun will be darkened. The moon shall appear as blood. Many stars, asteroids, comets shall fall to the earth, and many shall seek to hide from the wrath of God to no avail, and many more are saved during this time. The nation of Israel will be numbered and sealed. God reveals the future joy of those who shall die for Him during the tribulation period. Number seven, there will be silence in heaven for about one half hour. Silence in heaven for about one half hour. Now let's go back and look through this a little more slowly. Six and verse number four. We just jumped ahead and give you an outline of what's going to happen. Now we're going to read and find out the details of it, okay? Now we had what kind of horse came on the scene? What kind of horse was it? A white horse. We had a white horse, a Lukos, a white horse. All right? Now the Antichrist is going to come in on a white horse. What kind of horse is Jesus going to come back on? White horse. White horse. Kind of sounds singular, doesn't it? What does the devil always do? He's a deceiver and he always copies God. He's got a gospel. There's going to be a short period of time where Satan is going to be worshipped during the tribulation period. Six and four. He went out another horse. Fiery colored sorrel. And to the one sitting upon him, it was given to him to receive the peace and reign. What's the word peace in Hebrew? Shalom. What does shalom mean? It really means an agreement. With an agreement, you have peace. You don't have peace until you have an agreement. Peace. Out of the earth, out of the gay, out of the earth. And in order that one another they shall viciously slay. Viciously slay. Third person plural, future indicative. They shall viciously slay. People shall slay one another. Viciously. This is the kind of slaying that Cain slew Abel. Cain just didn't kill Abel. He kept on. That's what you call multiple killing. He stabbed and he stabbed and he stabbed the PL stem in Hebrew. He just kept stabbing and kept cutting and kept cutting. One or two cuts would have killed him. But he just kept it on. Just kept on going. Viciously slain. And it was given to him a sword. Makaira. The word sword there means ability to make war. Megale. What do you do when you mega something? It's big. Big. All right. Mega size it, that means it's big. Now we're going to take a look at another horse. All right. It makes a statement. The book of Revelation is like the Hebrew Old Testament. I want you to understand that. The book of Revelation is written in Greek. But it has Hebrew syntax, it has Hebrew idioms, it has the Hebrew mind. In Genesis' first chapter, it makes statements, doesn't it? But in Genesis' second chapter, it tells you how God did it. Okay? He said what He did, and then He said how He did it. Okay? 6 and verse 5. Now let's go back to seal number C and see what's going to happen in seal number 3. Great famine will take place. And a day's food will be sold for a day's wages. Mass slavery. Mass slavery will take place. This is where the great big economic monopolies will take over the Western world. And when he opened up the Sragisda, the seal, the third, I heard the third living being saying. He kept on saying this over and over again, by the way. You come up. You come, and I saw. Again, he saw in a vision. He saw with his mind's eye. He was a time traveler. And behold, a horse, a hippos, Melos. Melos, that's black. A horse black. A black horse. All right. Black. That's famine. And I saw the horse black, and the one sitting upon him having scales. Look at that. Scales, sugon, in the hand of him. Scales to set standards. Tell you what money's worth. The Antichrist, there's going to be a mark upon every man and every woman and every child that works. You will not get a job. The Antichrist will come on the scene and the world's going to give him power. And he said, if you want me to do this and you want me to take care of this, then you're going to have to give me complete control. And he's going to have complete control over every worker and every potential worker in his whole empire. And his confederation. The only way you're going to get any food is to have his mark on you. And he's going to set the standard for what a cup of water is going to cost you. What a loaf of bread is going to cost you. Revelation 4 and 7, Zechariah 6, 2 and 6, and Ezekiel 4, 16, they cross-reference to these. And Lamentations 5 and 10 and 4 and 9. During this period of time in history, one of the punishments will be starvation and famine and disease. You think God's going to get Israel's attention? You think He'll get the attention? The main reason for the tribulation coming upon this earth is to bring Israel back to God. But also, it's to punish the rest of the world for what they have done to Christ and what they have done to His churches and what they have done to His nation. Israel is the only nation God has ever had. That's His nation. That's His people. All right? 6 and verse 6. The high cost of living. And I heard, as a voice in the middle of the four living beings, saying, a koinix, seton, all right, a measure of wheat, denariu, or a penny, I think is what it says in King James, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, but the oil, the elio, and the wine, the oinon, not you touch it. You don't judge it. You don't have anything to do with it. This is the wages for all of mankind during the spirit time. If you're not a prince, then you're a pauper. And if you're a pauper at this time, and that's the most of humanity, they're going to get, the wages are going to be one day's food, just enough to live on. You're not going to put anything in the bank. You're not going to have any extra money to buy any clothes for your back, or a coat, or anything else. You're going to work just enough to feed yourself. All right? These are old terms. That word denarius there was a day's wages for a soldier. All right, it's a penny. Is it penny in King James? Anyone have King James? A denarius. All right. It's a day's wages. You just get enough to live on. Now, they're a different kind of bread. The poor man's bread was always barley. All right, he got barley. In the Egyptian mummies, you know, they mummified everybody over there in Egypt just about. They had spread those mummies all over the world at one time. And over in England and Europe, it was a big thing to have a mummy in your parlor. You know, they could come in and all your neighbors could come and see the mummy and everything. After a while, they got figuring out how to find out what kind of people these mummies were. The poor mummies had their teeth wore out, because they were eating a lot of dirt in their barley. If it was a hierarchy, one of the rich rulers or whatever else, their teeth were in better shape. They weren't worn off because they were eating fine flour. All right? Different kind of foods. Different kind of foods. Poor people have poor food. All right? And it says 3 quarts of barley for a day's wages. Now, if you were very poor, you were going to eat barley, you weren't going to eat wheat, okay? But the oil and the wine, you don't get to touch any of that. That's for the rich man. You're not going to get any butter for your bread. You're not going to get any wine to drink. You're not going to have any olive oil to dip your bread in. You don't have a right to touch it, is what it means. You don't have any right to have it. It's out of your hands. All right? The Antichrist will say who is the rich and who is the poor. And there will be poor people fighting for their rights, but they're going to die. All right? And there's going to be a whole lot of mankind that's just running. Running. You know what GPS is? What does it mean? Global positioning system. They're talking about implanting a device in every human being so they'll know where you are. All of this. This is pretty scary stuff, isn't it? This is pretty scary stuff. I don't want to be here. Zola Levitt, as he was talking about, he was a Jew. He's deceased now. He died a couple of years ago. And he said, people ask me in the last days over here, he said, what are you going to be since you're a Jew? He said, I'm going to be up there with you because I'm a Jewish believer. He said, I'm out of this. This is for my people that don't believe. All right? That's not me. He said, I don't want to be here during that period of time. And you ask a Jehovah's Witness, you want to go to heaven? They said, no, I don't want to go to heaven. I want to go to the kingdom. You know how do you get to the kingdom? You know how you're going to get into the kingdom of God on this earth, the millennium? You've got to go through all of that and what we're talking about to get there. You want to go through that? They can have it. Lola Levitt said they could have it. Matthew 21 through 16 talks about mass slavery, church state, great monopolies. Common man will not be able to afford any wine. All he's going to get is enough to stay alive. There probably won't be any medical help. If you're sick or diseased at this period of time, you're just going to be shoved off. Zap them. Bury them. Grind them up for meat. And it's going to cause a lot of disease. This is kind of a weird thing to say. We're going to have a lot of diseases in the last day. Have you heard of mad cow disease? Do you know how cattle get mad cow disease? It is something they eat. You know how cattle get mad cow disease? The only way they can get it? Have to eat another cow. But the cattlemen grind the dead cows up and feed it to the live cows for feed. That's how they get it. They would not allow, Japan and many countries wouldn't allow us to ship meat over there because we weren't clean enough with our cattle. They were, you know, the Bible talks about draining an animal, draining the blood out of an animal. How an animal gets mad cow disease is from the nerve endings in the spinal cord are in blood. That's how it happens. All right. You know, God has... We are so far removed from our food these days, from the slaughterhouses and everything. We go down the bonds and all this stuff and we buy our food. Do you realize that when God founded the nation of Israel, that He protected even the animals? That they would respect them? Do you know that if you killed an animal at your house to eat it, if you're an Israeli, you know what would happen to you during the wilderness journey? You would be killed if you killed one at home. You didn't find one dead out there any place and kill it. The Hebrew says the soul is in the blood. When they sacrificed that animal, they put the sins on that animal. That animal paid for the sins of those people. They slit its throat and its blood ran out on the ground. They took some of that blood, they put it at the altar, and they took some in there once a year. They took it into the mercy seat down in front of the Ark of the Covenant. But they took that blood and they gave it a burial. They respected that animal. They respected it. So much today we don't respect. We just kill and take. And that's going to be the whole world at this period of time. It's going to be a ravaging world. A ravaging world. Now let's look at this one, 6 and verse 7. Let's go back and look at that period of time and read and see what's going to happen then. There will be silence in heaven for about a half hour. The tribulation period will be a time of wrath, a time of judgment, a time of trials and trouble, a time of destruction, a time of dissolution, and a time of punishment. Now let's look and see what's going to go on here. What's going to take place on the face of the earth. And when I opened up the seal, the fourth, I heard a phoné. All right? That's the word voice there. A voice of the fourth living being saying, "You come." And I saw. Again, how did he see? He saw in the future time. I saw, and behold, a hippos, a horse, chloros. Chloros. We get our word chlorophyll from this word. Chlorophyll. What is chlorophyll? What color is chlorophyll?
Green.
All right, green. Out here, and all these plants have chlorophyll in it. That's green. All
right, that's all great. Then let's take over.
Green. There's some gruesome things in here. This turns your stomach, this stuff does. How many of you have ever seen a dead body that hasn't been taken care of, embalmed? I have. I told somebody about an uncle I had. He was terrible. My great-grandfather, Sam Paul, was the first senator of the Indian Territory in Oklahoma. He was the chief of the Chickasaw Nation, and he was a murderer. He was chief of the Chickasaw Nation because he would sign any paper that the white government gave him. And they made sure that he was the chief because he sold his people out. He ended up killing 17 men. If you go to Google and put in Sam Paul, you'll hear the story of him killing one man on there. He went out and killed him. But he killed 17 men. Shot his son 3 times. One time he lived. But he was a vicious man. Vicious man. His son finally shot him. Willie Paul shot him and killed him protecting his mother. He was going to kill her, which was my great-grandmother. He had a grandson called William Augustus Stewart. His father was a great man. He was a Christian man. He was Santee Sioux. They went into Oklahoma. He married Sam Paul's daughter, which was my great-grandmother. And they had a bunch of kids. The first one that came out was William. My great-grandfather had a lot of designs for that boy. He wanted him to be a preacher. When he was born, he bought him a Bible. I have it. And he put his name in there and marked all kinds of scriptures for him to be saved. Bill's mother was a little bit wild. That was my great-grandmother. She was a little wild. But the father was different. My Uncle Bill was a horrible man. He killed 3 men that I knew. I found one of them. He'd been dead for days. He got by with it. He stabbed another man. He was like his grandfather. I went into this building, an old adobe building over there, and we were poor people. I walked in that building and we smelled something there. And I opened it in, and laying on that floor was a man who was green. Greenish black. He was all swelled up. All of us kids knew what happened to this man. But they couldn't pin anything. He'd fallen down. He had a big lump on his head and everything else, but it had been days. Bill had knocked him in the head for a bottle of water. There's going to be a whole lot of killing like this back then. Well, the end of that story, though, to tell you a little bit about that, is when I became a preacher. I went up and led that sorry uncle of mine to the Lord. And the Lord saved him, and he changed his life in his late 70s. My great-grandfather had prayed for that man. He wanted him to be a preacher. He wanted him to be a preacher. Gave him a Bible in 1928. I have that one, too. I didn't even know this when I went and talked to him, because I hated him. He hurt me, beat me, stole everything I ever had. It was horrible to me all of my life. And when I got saved, the Lord put it on my heart to go talk to that old reprobate. And when I went and told him he was dying and going to hell. And when he repented and bawled and asked the Lord to save him, I was mad. I said, I didn't want him to be saved. I hated him. But God answered an old man's prayer that had been prayed 70 years before. I want you to know that. God answered prayer. Green. A horse of death. They call it the pale horse. It's the green. It is the color of death that's laying out on the ground, the color that animals turn and humankind turns when there is no embalming. The blood putrefies them. They turn a greenish color, the color of death. All right? And the one sitting upon him, named to him Thanatos. That means spiritual death. Separation. The word for dead bodies is necros. Necros. This is not Necros, this is Thanatos. The one sitting upon this horse now is death. Death. And the Hades, it kept on following after him. Hades. What is Hades? Hades, the place of departed spirits, the region of the damned. In the Old Testament, in Sheol, I think I drew a picture of that here a while back up there for you, and I said before the cross, everybody went down to one region called Sheol, all right? And there was a great gulf between Sheol and paradise down there, okay? And then when the Lord died, he went down, he took these people up to the third heaven, and he left Sheol down, Hades down there. It is Sheol in Hebrew and Hades in the New Testament. Sheol means the place asked about. Hades means the place unseen. All right? And he said death, spiritual separation and death, because of the father of death, it kept on following. Look at that word. It kept on following. It comes from a cool old thing. And his third person singular and perfect, it kept on following him. Wherever he went, death went with him. All right. Wherever he went, death went with him. Well, these are gruesome. This is a gruesome story, isn't it? Dakota, you going to sleep tonight after hearing all this? 6 and verse 8. Kept on following him, out too. And it was given to them authority over the fourth. Tone, the fourth of the earth, the inhabited earth, to kill, that means to take life from, with the sword, and with famine, and with death, and by Therion, taste gaze. Therion, taste gaze. Anybody ever heard of Andrew Jackson? You know Andrew Jackson, he was called a gorilla, basically. He was called Old Hickory. He was quite a guy. He did some good things for America, but he did a lot of bad things for the Indians. I'm going to tell you. And the black people. When you study the history of Andrew Jackson, you have to realize that this man lived during that period of time. He had a violent temper. He had a lot of vices. Liked women a lot, and he liked whiskey a lot. Gambled a lot. He fought dogs and fought chickens and rode fast horses. His wife, and historically, he fought chickens so much in the White House that there was chicken feathers all over that place and blood all over the parlor all the time from him fighting chickens in the house. He was a bloody man. He did some strategically good things for America. A lot of the country were afraid of him because of his violence and everything. He went down into Florida. There were a lot of Negroes, blacks, slaves escaping going down to Florida. Who was down in Florida? Seminole Indians. They became the Seminoles. They were Creeks and Cherokees and all kinds of Indians. They call them Seminoles down there after they went down there. Some of my people were down. Well, the Indians weren't prejudiced. So they married in with the blacks and they accepted black people come in with them. You ever seen black Indians? You ever seen some Indians who were pretty black? We Indians, especially from the East Coast, were not black. We were real white-colored and tall, okay? If you look on the earth, all people that are on the equator, the darker they are. Okay, your bodies just go to that. Okay, dark skin keeps out the ultraviolet rays and lets in just enough to give you vitamin D, which you need. The lighter skin people, which are on both ends of the poles, okay, away from it, they accept all the rays of the sun because they don't get much. All right, and your body's taken care of. God's taken care of it like that. Well, the Indians down there, they married in with these blacks. They took them down there. Well, Andrew Jackson got so mad that he imported bulldogs from Cuba, fighting dogs, pit bulls, all different kinds of fighting dogs, and he taught them to kill people. He taught them to kill black people and Indians. And he took these great droves of dogs and turned them loose in the Everglades. They couldn't go down there and fight those Indians. The Indians would whoop them every time. They were on their own ground. They couldn't whip these Indians. And these blacks down there were learning from the Indians how to fight. Well, he taught these dogs. They real. Does the dog run pretty fast? Huh? Uh-huh. Greyhound does. Have you ever seen a pit bull run? I had a pit bull one time. I had a pit bull, and that thing was like a bullet. Anything came in the yard, gone, man. It was dead. Just like that. Like a bullet. Fast. Quick. That's where they were on that. That means a swift-running, killing land shark. What Andrew Jackson did is he trained these bulldogs to kill these blacks and Indians. He turned them loose. I mean, there were hundreds of them he turned loose. He wanted to exterminate them. He did not want them to get away from this government. He's the one that started the pushing all the Indians in the reservations. He's the one that started that. He was vicious to the Indian people. He turned these wild dogs, all these Indians down there, in the Florida Everglades. They killed some black people. The Indians took them and tamed them and sick them back on the white man. You know how dogs are. I was at a funeral yesterday of my cousin. They were Indians also. You ever heard of Clint Walker? Clint Walker, that movie star. That's part of my family. Okay. And we were talking to a guy. Got up at the funeral and he talked. He said, "Vernon," he said, "we went rabbit hunting one night, spotlight." He said, "We were spotlighting these rabbits," and he said, "I took my gun," and Vernon didn't take a gun. He said, "We're out there spotlighting, and we spotlighted this rabbit." And he said, "Oh, don't shoot it. I'll go out there and catch it." He said, "What?" He said, "I'll go catch it." He went out there. What did he do with that rabbit, Dakota? He went out there and slowly walked up on that rabbit and picked it up and started petting. He'd take everything home. Catch a wild turkey, a bird, whatever. We used to go cutting wood in the woods and bring home all kinds of wild animals. Hang them around for pets. Those Indians tamed those wild beasts and turned them back on their antagonist. The Therion, the swift, and he killed. He brought death by trained animals that are trained to kill. We have animals that are trained to sniff drugs out. We got police dogs that are trained to bring convicts in order and scare the daylights out of them, grab them, hold them, attack them. These are attack animals. What kind are they? Well, some kind of swift-running beast. They could be dogs. They could be some type of lion or hybrid. And verse number 9, the fifth seal. Are you ready to quit? You want to do this one later? Terry, you've got to go pretty soon, don't you? All right. I'll cover this. All right. Let's cover this just a little bit, the fifth seal. And when he opened up the fifth seal, I saw down under the sacrificial altar, the souls of the ones having been viciously, brutally slain because of the word of the God. Now, are there going to be people saved during the tribulation period? Evidently. And through the, or because of the witness which they kept on having, they held to the witness. Now, they're going to be starved to death. They're going to be ravaged and killed and slain in the streets. There's going to be public executions. We saw this. We look over there in the Middle East and we saw the viciousness of the Muslim people, Islamic people going out and taking a prisoner and chopping their head off on a camera. There's going to be all kinds of public beheadings during the Antichrist reign. And then verse 10 says, And they cried out in a voice great, saying, until when the Master, the Despotes, the Holy and the True, I'm getting hay fever, got to blow my nose, hold on for a minute. I tried to keep from taking a Benadryl so I could stay awake to teach you today. And when the Master, the Despotes, the Despot, all right? Now, our ruler is our Lord, our omnipowerful one, and the Holy and the True, not you judge and you outjudge the blood of us. Please, our Lord, our Master, our King, please judge these people because of the blood of us, out of the ones down homing upon the earth. And it was given to them, each one, a robe, a stole, a stole. Have you ever heard of a mink stole? That word stole comes right out of this Greek word stole, all right? A white robe, and it was said to them in order that they should rest for a little while longer, a little bit more time, chronon, mikron, a little more time, until they might be fulfilled, also the ones, fellow slaves of them, the ones brothers of them, the ones being about to be killed, as also they did. Revelation 3, 4 and 5, 7 and 9, 14, 13, 2 Thessalonians 1 and 7, Hebrews 4 and 10, 11:40, Acts 20:24, and 2 Timothy 4 and 7. These are all cross-references to this. Next week, we're going to go into the sixth seal. Do you have any questions? Brother John.
Did they sold corn?
I guess so. Don't go to Luke later on. We don't have time tonight. Luke, the 16th chapter. Let's just think about this for a while. This is Hades. This is the place of departed spirits, Sheol and Hades, before the Lord went down. The Lord is talking about a real happening that happened. This is a historical fact. All right. There was a rich man down there, which we call Dives from the original language, or Nineveh. That was his name. And we have a poor man. What was his name? Lazarus. All right. We've got Dives and we've got Lazarus down there. And we see Lazarus over there, and he's being comforted. Now, does he have a body? Can he see? Can he hear? Can he feel? Right? Can he sense, taste, touch, comfort, emotion? Let's go back in hell now, the place of torments. Now, Dives, does he remember? Can he think? He's not in a resurrected body yet. He's a soul down there. Okay? He's not resurrected. Can he think? And can he remember? Why, what did Abraham say to him? He said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus over here to dip his finger in a little water. I am burning up in this thirst so I can have a drink. Is he thirsty? Does he have a mouth? Does he have a tongue? My tongue is this parched here. All right? Does he feel? Yeah. Does he see? Can he hear? All of these things. This is part of hell. By the way, those in hell are called, you know, it's going to be hell fire in the future, isn't it? The eternal lake of fire over there in the future. The lake of fire. It says that Hades is going to be thrown into the lake of fire. The end of Hades and the beginning of the lake of fire, eternal hell, is going to take place over there. How long is it going to take to burn them people up? It says that they're asbestos. You know what asbestos is? It don't burn. That's if you can put flame on it from now on, it doesn't burn. The Greek says they're asbestos. They will never die. They will be there. They will be thirsty. They will be tormented forever. That's terrible. We don't want to go there. We don't want to go there. We don't want to go through this. over there, that tribulation. Why in the world would somebody want to go into the kingdom age when you could go up? Every time a young witness tells me that they want to go to the kingdom, not to heaven, I say, well, you know what you got to do to go to heaven? I mean, go to the kingdom? Let's look at it just a little bit. This is it that we looked at tonight. All right. Well, we're going to start with 6 and 12 next week. Do you have any other questions? I'll turn you loose on the world. Go out and do something eternal this week now. I found out today from our class, we had 4 people saved this last week in a family. And, 4 people. You pray for Martha Tostado. She is in intensive care at Mercy Hospital. Pray for Martha Tostado. Martha. And my granddaughter, Jackie Phillips, is in UCLA Medical Center. They don't know what's wrong with her. She's been sick for almost a year. But remember her. And remember me also, that the Lord will give me strength to keep on doing what I'm doing. And are you ready to go? Are you enjoying the book? This kind of scares the daylights out of you, but this is it. This is the book. A lot of people don't even want to study the book of Revelation. Hernando Montecron is in my morning class. Many years ago, I came in and I was teaching about this very same thing. After I finished teaching, he came up and he didn't want to go to hell anymore. He wanted to go to heaven. He didn't want any more of this stuff. No more. I don't want to go to hell. My Uncle Bill, when I was up there in the hospital with him, this guy, every time I got close enough to him when I was a little kid, he'd pull my hair out. I'd have a place in my head that I didn't have any hair. He'd try to pull my ears off, beat me, steal anything I had. I didn't like him. But I went up there and I told him, Bill, you are going to hell. Ha, ha, ha. Because I never saw anybody that deserved to go to hell more than you do. You are horrible. And I said, you know that I know you. Yeah. I got to tell him how bad he was. I was just like Jonah in Nineveh. I was having a ball preaching. But when God saved him, when I told him, I said, well, there is a way out. I said, you can ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, and you can go to heaven. The old buzzard wanted it. And I prayed with him. I did not know about those Bibles I was preaching here. This is how many years? This was about 1970. 2 or 3 when this happened. 1997 or 8. When I went over here preaching from the Gospel of John, one night I went by my mother's house. My cousin had given me his Bibles, and I opened up and it revealed to me why I went over there and preached to that old man. The Lord heard the prayers of his father. When I read those Bibles and Bill, this would make a good sermon. That's what he wrote in the Bible. Well, he got him a grandson that was a preacher anyway. And I led his Omri son to the Lord. That's God's prayers. God loves us. God doesn't want anybody to go to this deal. He's just telling what's going to happen. You don't have to go through this. You can be saved. Dakota, you want to go in this? You want to go through this? I don't think so. Well, John, you want to go there?
No, I heard one preacher say you have a choice. You can fly or fry.
That's right. You can fly up or you can fry up. One or the other. Except you just can't keep on frying. Well, they're going to be killed during the tribulation period, but that's not the end of it. They're going to face another death, the second death, which is eternal torment. That's hard stuff. I know I've told you some gruesome stories tonight about these things, but that's the way it is. That's the story of Revelation. It's gruesome. What? No. But this is what to tell your friends. A lot of people don't want to even hear the story of Revelation, but now you heard a little bit of the Revelation. And that might turn them away from it. Of course not. We've been preaching this for 2,000 years. But just remember, Daniel talked about this. Zephaniah talked about this. Ezekiel talked about this a long time before that. it was the first coming of the Messiah was prophesied. It happened exactly on time to the very day when Jesus was supposed to walk into Jerusalem in his triumphal entry. He did. And I guarantee he won't be 5 minutes late for his second coming either. He won't be 5 minutes late. All right. Well, let's go turn you loose on the world out there. Father, thank you for your word today. Apply it to our hearts. Help us to understand the dying, lost world out there. This is what's coming upon them. And we see the previews of coming attractions right now. We see it. We see all of the setup. We see all the nations lined up exactly like they're supposed to be lined up. It's fearsome. I never thought I'd ever see this. And I didn't think I'd see this. But Father, give us the courage to witness to others. Thank you for your mercy that you've given us, the everlasting life you've given us. Thank you that we won't have to see this. In Jesus' name we pray. For your sake we ask. Amen.